Hello and welcome to our new episode of Life in the Saddle. This is our first and not the last episode in English. Posadla are building new connections internationally, so we felt like it's natural to bring the news to our Czech audience, but also bring in new listeners from all over the world. The following episode was recorded live in Berlin at Bike Collective Fair, and the topic was customization and 3D printing in the cycling industry. Hope you like it. Once you fall in love with cycling, you become forever obsessed. Welcome to the podcast for everyone who has chosen cycling as the way of life. Hello everyone, welcome to Bike Collective Fair in Berlin. This talk is going to be special because it's not only going to be a presentation here for you guys, but it's also going to be recorded as a podcast. We have a podcast show that is called Life in the Saddle, and that one is available on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. So if you want to listen to this later on, you can. And my name is Jiri. I'm one of the founders at Posadla, and my today's guest is Tim from BASF, who is also an avid cyclist. So he's a 3D printing insider who works for one of the Germany's biggest companies that makes solutions for 3D printing and additive manufacturing. And last year, you might have noticed Tim's supersized 36-inch wheel custom bike built on a frame set from Hoon Cycles. And there is a lot of 3D printed components on his bike. So the bike appeared at Bespoke in London last year, and Tim has some ambitious plans with the bike. So if he didn't change his mind, he told me he will go across the Germany this year. So I don't know if this is still valid, Tim. Sort of.
Yeah.
Okay, fingers crossed. So our team at Posadla shares with Tim a unique combination of 3D printing expertise, but we are also, avid cyclists. We are bicycle components manufacturers. Tim is a bike builder as well. I think that, we have a lot of things to discuss. So after this session, we will also leave the floor to you guys so you can ask some questions, and we will be happy to answer them. So Tim, thanks for being here with us.
Hey.
Hi. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Perfect. So I will start off with the first question, and then we can take it from there. So 3D printing or additive manufacturing has become a huge industry on its own. And in recent years in cycling industry, it has also become quite a buzzword. Everything is 3D printed. Don't you think so? But, we who work with the technology, we are quite familiar with what it does and what it's capable of. But sometimes I feel like, people who are just cyclists, they don't really know what 3D printing is. So I will kick off with a very difficult question. Can you maybe describe very quickly what 3D printing is?
What 3D printing is? There are a lot of different technologies, and it's really difficult for customers or for the riders to get an overview about all the technologies, all the materials, and everything is a bit different. In the end, 3D printing is technology which is built layer by layer compared to other technologies where you use a bunch of or a chunk of aluminium, for example, and CNC it. So additive means you build up your part layer by layer. That's in all print technologies. Mm-hmm.
There are actually, a lot of funny acronyms for 3D printing, like FDM, SLA, SLS. So maybe let's talk about, some of those just to give, the audience an idea, what are the different technologies. So FDM, maybe that's the first one.
Yeah, let's start with FDM. So FDM, I didn't get the Abkürzung, but it means you have a filament, yeah, like a, and you meld it in an
extruder.
Thank you. And then you print the part. Other technology, SLS, means that you have a powder bed, and there is getting a laser over it, and like you do the saddle, it's technology from HP, and you use a binder, so also powder bed, and then you use a binder to glue the part. And SLM, selective laser melting, is a metal technology, and this is where you also use a laser, and you do like welding layer on layer.
Yeah, well, so you heard a lot of fancy words like laser and, you know, like sintering and fuse depositioning and things like that. So do you think that 3D printing is the future of, you know, the cycling industry?
At least I see a lot of potential. I mean, I love cycling, I love 3D printing, and I see a lot of potential for customization, also for series. But of course, there is a point where, or depend on the part design and on the technology, where it makes sense. And then if you go above, whatever, 10,000, 100,000 parts, then the conventional technologies would make much more sense. Mm-hmm.
So how about if you talk about, you know, the benefits compared to like traditional manufacturing? So what are some of the like advantages or disadvantages?
Advantages, of course, customization.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge topic. And like you do it with a saddle, yeah, everybody has a different butt. So
that's true.
And it's the same with cribs or maybe some protection or. So I think there is really a lot of potential there, mm-hmm. where you can do customized things with only your logo or something. This is something you can realize quite easy.
Mm-hmm. So my next question is 3D printing something that everyone can do? Because, you know, we have these different kinds of printers. Some are like home printers that you can see. You can like put them on a table and print something at home. But then you have industrial printers that sometimes are so big that they would be able to fill up this whole space. And they, you know, of course, you know, cost a lot of money. Yes. So maybe what is the difference between the home-based printing and the industrialized printing?
It depends on the technology. So what you are doing usually at home is the SLA printing. So you have a kind of liquid and use a light to harden the material, or the FDM filament printing. This is something, these are quite small machines, or it can be quite small machines, and you can use it at home at your desk. But the industrial machines, like the HP machine or these laser machines, are huge machines, a lot of technology, but yeah, of course they are more accurate or things like that, so there are huge differences.
Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why I ask this is that, you know, I was under the impression in the recent years that people were saying, well, everything will be 3D printed eventually, you know, and then you will have a printer installed at home and you will not even have to go to a store and to buy a cup because you can just print it at home and drink from it straight away. So do you think that this is a future that we are like heading towards, or I'm not quite...
I'm not sure, to be honest. I think the thing is, it's so fast at the moment in the 3D printing industry. Every year there are new technologies, new materials, and it's, even for us as specialists, it's quite hard to have the, or to keep the overview. I'm not sure, but maybe in 20 years.
Yeah. So we will talk a lot about components, but I want to talk about whole bicycles being printed. So last year we saw Filippo Ganna, an Italian rider for Ineos Grenadiers. He tried to attempt the hour record on a Pinarello bike, which was fully 3D printed. I mean, the frame set was printed, I think, from titanium or some other like metals alloy. And for the record to be recognized by the UCI, the frame had to be offered commercially to a customer. I don't know what the price is, probably something insane. But my question is, like, do you think that fully printed bikes will see the light of day, like, in the future? That will be, you know, available to us, like, normal people.
So there's no printer available where I can print the whole frame. So that's... Even this frame was built from 4 or 5 different parts. Mm-hmm. And as long as the machines are so expensive, I don't think that's... It will take much more time, I think, to... I mean, a frame, I mean, this is a big one, but even a smaller one, it's... I think it's quite hard. Not in the near future.
Mm-hmm. So what parts are meaningful to print, in your opinion? I mean, what are the existing things? And maybe you can describe it using your bike as well.
I mean, small parts, like... The frame builders downstairs use for the dropouts or some joints. So at the bike, the dropouts are printed and the joint at the seat, for example. And this is done with the metal filament. So you could do it yourself at home. Yeah? It's done with this filament printing. And yeah, also there, customize a frame. So customization, again, a big topic, customization, because I'm 2.06 and you are 180-something, so...
Well, I wish.
And all the angles will change, and this would be quite easy with the printing, yeah? Doesn't matter which technology. But yeah, I think there are a lot of things which make really sense.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I personally, you know, love seeing use cases where 3D printing is used for the benefit of each rider, because you can use it as a technology, but if you don't use it for example, your special purpose, as you said, like, you are a few centimeters above 2 meters, so you probably, like, wouldn't be able to find a frame that would, you know, work for you perfectly if you didn't make one yourself, right? Or...
Yeah, right. So usually I do it, I use the biggest frame I can find and then switch the seat post and use a longer one. So it doesn't fit really. And it also looks quite weird sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So huge frame and small wheels.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you see this bike at the picture without any reference, it looks more like normal. So
that's right. Well, if you are standing next to it, then it looks normal. If I'm standing next to it, doesn't look quite like that. So let's talk about materials a little bit. So, you know, in bicycle industry, we use all, like, different varieties of materials, carbon fiber, different alloys, aluminium, titanium. We also use a lot of plastics. So what can be printed, basically? Like, what kind of materials can be printed?
I think in general there is already a lot of different materials, so flexible materials, there are also already food contact stuff, skin contact, so a lot of different things. I mean, like, you use the flexible material TPU, where you can print it as a dense part, let's say, and it's quite stiff, but with the technology you are using, with all this it's called lattice structure, you can play around and it's not any longer this stiff material. And yeah, the parts in the frame are stainless steel. You can print titanium. There are also technologies for aluminium. Titanium was also there. And a huge variety of materials.
Mm-hmm. And if you compare those materials that are made using additive manufacturing, what is the lifespan of such components? I mean, are they the same? Do they have the same, like, mechanical properties as, you know, like, traditionally made parts?
They are maybe a bit different due to the technology, mm-hmm. but in general, you can compare it to a conventional produced part. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, you can. The advantage is you can do different designs, And so designing a 3D printed part, you can do things you are not able to do with the conventional technologies.
I have a interesting case study to share. So recently we were approached by a guy that you probably know. His name is Peter Sagan, and he reached out to us through his older brother Juraj, who now started a UCI Continental team in Slovakia. And Peter was frustrated because at Total Energies they had bikes from one company that I don't want to mention here, and they had a problem with front derailleur holder. So when they were using an extra big chain ring, the chain was rubbing the derailleur, and they just couldn't find any mass produced solution. So they were asking guys, can you offer a solution how to do this? And I told them we are not experts on metal printing, but we know a few guys. So we connected them to a company called Mark Forge that does also metal printing. And within a few weeks, they had a prototype ready. 2 weeks later, they had a... But it makes a big difference. And now they are having them installed on their fleet of bikes. And finally, he can go and have a 55 or 58 tooth chain ring without rubbing. So this is just an example. So sometimes, the 3D printed products don't have to be so obvious. For example, our saddle or shoes or helmets, something that we will talk about later as well. But it can be the small parts that, make a huge difference. So
yeah, you can really do it quite quick. If you don't need the mold or something, so you're able to print it, or you have a solution for that, then you can do it really quick. And if the race is next week, you can do it today. And
that's right.
And so, yeah.
So before this session, I was reading some materials on, additive manufacturing and mass customization. And I found out this, according to Deloitte, I didn't make it up. I mean, that's a study that was published. More than 50% of consumers expressed interest in purchasing customized products or services. And majority of them were even willing to pay more than for a mass-produced services. You work at BASF, which is a huge company that, creates powder for, our solution, but you are also doing stuff for metal. Is mass customization the term that you hear a lot at work? Do your colleagues talk about it a lot? And maybe if you can describe it from your, not cycling perspective, but from the company's perspective.
So there is a lot of customization, yeah. And it makes sense because it's that easy. I have to say our customers are more big industries, so not as big as BASF, but big industries, and there it's all about quantity, get it fast, and maybe have some special designs. But I think you do it with a mass customization, it will take some more time to find the right use cases where it also makes sense, of course.
I mean, here you might be under impression that we are saying, oh, mass customization is the best thing in the world. But, the lead times are sometimes difficult. The workflow is also very complicated. It's not only about producing the actual part, but it's also having a whole digital workflow on the back end. But on the other hand, when you want to, build a custom bike, sometimes you are waiting for components that are produced in Asia for, weeks or months, right? So what is the optimal time to wait for a custom product? And how would you explain this to a customer? I mean, you have been an owner of a bike shop as well. So, yeah. I mean, sometimes you probably must get questions I need this bike next week, or I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, how do you say it? I mean, back when I had my own bike shop, it was not that important like it is today. But yeah, of course, today with all the supply chain issues we have at the moment, it makes sense to I mean, like the derailers, I think spare parts for derailers are quite hard to get at the moment. And if you would have the possibility to get it, to print it within one day, maybe, yeah, because some of the plastics or the polymer parts are, you print it and you're done. So, yeah, I think it will take more time to, like I said before, with all these different technologies, and it's just quite difficult for the people to understand what's already possible. Mm-hmm. This was the idea behind the bike, to show what's already possible.
Mm-hmm. So, in recent years, we also saw... No worries. We saw a lot of products hit the market. So, for example, custom helmets, custom shoes. This is something that we have here as well. What is your favorite application? Like, what has been your favorite application in the last few years? Like, what really, you know, changed the way how you use your bike? I mean,
I was working now 4 years at BASF for the metal filament. So, in my head is a lot of metal. And I, of course, like using it for custom frames. Yeah, but applications like the shoe here, fully printed from Hiso, and your saddle, and also customized grips or things like that. I mean, I like it, but you also need to be, of course, I mean, a bit a bike nerd to use this all. But I think there is no special application which I really like. I think for me it's the whole thing of 3D printing in the bike industry, because there I can merge all my interests, let's say.
Yeah, cool. So before we have a look at your bike and, you know, talk about specific components, I'm going to ask you three questions that we ask each guest of our podcast, and they're easy, you know, like don't be afraid. So the first one is about, you know, trends in cycling. So now I'm giving you an opportunity to tell us, like, what is something that you think is a great trend in cycling? And it doesn't have to be 3D printed related. And then on the other hand, you have the opportunity to complain and tell us what is the negative trend in cycling in the in the last years.
Positive trend. I mean, sustainability is a topic which everybody is talking about, and this absolutely makes sense.
So, I mean, like urban mobility, like, or
urban mobility, or also in production of all the components, frames, everything. Which trend I don't like? I don't know.
Okay, let's move on. So the next question we ask is, you know, we usually have guests from the Czech Republic. So we ask them, what is their favorite ride in the Czech Republic? Since you probably haven't ridden there too much, I'm going to ask you if you were to recommend like one route in Germany and one route abroad where you like to ride your bike. What would that be?
So in Germany, I grew up in Pfalz, in Palatina. And I love the woods there, and it's a great option to ride as well, mountain bike and road bikes. I would love to go to New Zealand. I think this is great to be in the mountains, and I don't know, half an hour later, after a downhill, you are at the sea. So,
would you be able to fit your bike on a plane to New Zealand?
No, at all. We try to bring it to the U.S. To a fair, but yeah, it doesn't fit in a bike coffer.
Okay. And the very last question is: who should we invite on a podcast for the next interview? And this is a serious thing, because if you say a name, that person must come, and you have to facilitate as well.
I do know who was already your guest, but maybe use one of the frame builders. Mm-hmm. They are using 3D printing.
Yeah.
As Han Rossmann, for example.
Nice.
He also helped building the frame. So maybe this would be somebody who can talk about, I mean, it's also 3D printing, but I think in general with the custom bike building, customization would be a great fit.
Perfect. So now we have you in the room, so we'll discuss the terms later. All right, perfect. So this was great. How about we look at your bike? Maybe you can like wheel it in here, and you can just, you know, walk us through you know, the different parts of it, because I think we are all, you know, curious to hear what is the story behind it.
Need more space here. So I mean, storyline was creating a bike where you can already show what's possible with 3D printing. We started with a 29-inch bike, but we realized the head tube was going like 200-something millimeter and it looks weird. So I already have a 36-inch bike and we decided to do another one. So yeah, what's 3D printed? So there's, of course, the Posella saddle fits to my butt. Then there are the grips. They are not directly printed. They are also customized to your hands, and they print a mold and then fill it with silicone. Then we have some, like the brake adapter here is also printed with the metal filament. And we have in total 5 parts in the frame. So this is the seat cluster, let's say, the dropouts in the back, the yoke, and here a small part to route the cables. What else? Custom fork, because there is no suspension fork available for 36-inch. So Cornelius from Intent made us one. Works quite well.
So what are your plans with the bike for this year? So except for riding across Germany.
But the initial idea was to really do the race across Germany. Since the bike is, since last year when we finished it for the bespoke, it's always somewhere, but not with me. So I did not have the chance to ride it that much, but Flo here over there just did a test with it, and he was even riding it more than I am. So, but it's still a plan to have a long, because it's made for it, have a long ride like Berlin, Munich, or another idea was to go from Freiburg to Cologne. Long distance riding, because you can imagine you can't do fast corners or things like that, and but if it's running, then you're fine and it's running.
Perfect. So this was all from us. So now how about we give the chance to the audience if they want to ask us a question. Thank you for listening all the way here. We had a long Q&A session, but the sound quality from the audience wasn't perfect, so we decided to end the episode here. Hope you enjoyed our first episode in English. We will be adding more in the future because there are many international events ahead of us. If you are new to our podcast, go ahead and subscribe to our show. You can also find Posella on Instagram, Twitter, Strava. So leave us a comment there and stay in touch.